Good morning. For family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, of course, the place to be on Sunday mornings. For those who found us on their radio at FM 96.9 in San Antonio, we are physically located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone who is looking for a new church home or just one to come visit, come see us anytime, Sunday morning at 10:30. The scripture selected for our invocation today is Psalm 130, taken from the New Revised Standard Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all of its iniquities. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed day, the Lord, that you have allowed us to see. We thank you that you woke us up this morning with your finger, with your touch of finger of love, Lord. Allowed us, Lord, to get up and move around in a reasonable portion of our health and strength. Allowed us together in a reasonable portion of our right mind. O Lord, only because of your grace, only because of your mercy, can we even be here. Can we even breathe the air? We give thanks to you, Lord. And we ask that this morning would be true worship, in truth and in spirit. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand for our opening hymn, Lord of the Dance?
I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my dancing. Wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance city, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me and the dance went on. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dancing. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dancing. I danced on the Sabbath when I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high. And they left me there on the cross to die. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dancing. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dancing.
Now, I guess you please be seated.
Do with Michael Flatley. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. It is birthday and anniversary time, and on here we have two birthdays. We have Destiny Neal today, who's turning 7 years old, and Lisa Edwards on April 1st. And I have a friend, Mylene, who just gave birth yesterday to a daughter named Amara Jasmine. So we'll sing happy birthday.
David.
Yes. Okay. Y'all having a good weekend? That's good. Yeah, I was going to say something about when you did the Lord. Different Irish. Right. A different Lord of the Dance. Oh, you can't see me with those flowers up there? All right, now we can sing happy birthday. All right. Oh, hold on.
Thank you also.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Amen.
All right. Does anybody have any announcements?
That made yesterday the memorial for Jim possible. It was a wonderful luncheon, and it was nice to see everybody that was there. Again, today is the last day to order your lilies. I nearly said poinsettias. Oh, my goodness, Christmas will be here before I know it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the lilies. And if you haven't ordered, please do so, and so we can get that. Already have them ordered. We just need to get them paid for. And then the other thing is our lunch, our breakfast for Easter Sunday sunrise. I need additional people to help with breakfast casseroles. Okay, we're having biscuits and sausage, right? And we'll have to take care of the beverage. But if you would be kind enough to bring in, fruit tray, or really we need the eggs. That's what we're needing. So if you guys can just get those recipes out and get us two or three more casseroles, we'll be rocking and rolling, okay?
And menudo.
Thank you.
Good morning. Heavenly Father, deliver me from the sin that entangles my actions and pollutes my heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew my right spirit in me through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your forgiveness and grace.
Amen.
As we prepare to give our offerings, let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, throughout this time of Lent, we have been pondering, we have been confused, we have been wondering, and Lord, we prepare our hearts to again worship you in the glory of Easter and the Resurrection Day. But during this time, we need to ponder about the fate of those around us. And so often we forget that there are those in need. Forgive us, Lord, for being in this manner, and help us to be generous. Open our hearts and minds so that we may be the cheerful givers that you ask for. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip. I'm just common flesh and bone, but I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face. Thorns were on his head. Blood was on his scarlet robe. It was stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time, and when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, for he knew me. Yes. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yes, when he was on the cross, we were on his mind.
long as you're mobile, I'll live. Guys, this is amazing. This is brief.
Good morning, church. So glad to be here without my Cadillac. Our reading for today is John 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible and for the truth that it contains. Guide me into all truth, I pray, knowing that all I need for salvation and sanctification is contained within the pages of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Give Miss Jessie a chance to get back. Hey, not a problem. We need the time to be alone with God. Let us go to God again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to the time now where we hear the message that your Holy Spirit will deliver through Pastor Ted. We ask, Lord, that you give Pastor Ted your not only your spirit, but give him your strength and give him the courage to speak your words and let all that he says come from you and not from him. Let us open our hearts and minds so that your message will come in all of our spirits and that we may take your message to the world. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Good morning. What a blessing it is to be here again, to be back in at home in San Antonio. We had a little road trip to Kentucky and Virginia, and we just had a great time. But you know what? When that plane touched down in San Antonio, it was good to be back home. Amen? Amen. I trust everyone. The Lord has blessed everyone like I know he has, and he will continue to bless you as well. We want to talk this morning on about a wonderful a story that has a very surprise ending. And I want you to keep in mind the scripture verse that was given this morning, John 3:17. You keep that in mind and you keep a finger right there, because that will be the focus of our message this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but I love stories with a surprise ending. And the story that we're going to go through this morning from the scripture has an interesting twist that'll be a surprise for many of us. I know it was for me. So if you like a good story, watch out. Stay awake for the twist so you won't miss it. Amen? Amen. So we're about halfway through our Lenten series titled Letting Go. I just want to remind you that Lent is a time for us to assess ourselves and to make adjustments, to recalibrate our way of living toward God. So we're going to look at a story today from the Gospel of John. And it's a true story, and it's a beautiful story, because it's about someone who was completely broken and living in shame. But they had an encounter with Jesus, and afterwards they were never the same. And I want to let you know right now that there is a wonderful twist at the end of this story. It'll be a surprise for you. You know, and you may have heard this story 100 times, but I'm going to save the twist to the very end. Now, the Gospel of John says this: God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Remember that. He didn't send his son to condemn the world, but to save it. Nowhere is this more clear than the story we're about to get into. God has no desire to condemn anyone, only to save the people, to save his people. So, do you know that God does not condemn you, even in our brokenness, even in the mess that we've made of our lives, of all our imperfections? He doesn't shame you, nor condemn you. He's not even disappointed in you. The word disappointed is nowhere near in any of the scriptures. You see, he understands you and he loves you and right where you are today. Isn't that awesome? God loves you right where you are. But he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants to take you to a much better and a higher place. He says he's not going to leave you there. He wants to save you from the inner darkness that has power over you, and anger, anxiety, resentments, depression, greed, and lust. You name it. He wants to, and he will save you from all of these. In their place, he's going to put peace, love, joy, and courage. You see, he sees our brokenness and all the injustices and evil systems. All of that will be gone, and all oppression and unfairness will be no more one day. When the new Jerusalem comes, everything, he's going to heal it all one day. You know, one of the things that when we went to the Ark of the Encounter and the creation, we saw just how beautiful this world was before sin entered. We saw just how perfect the Lord made everything. But don't you worry, folks. He's going to fix that too. He's going to heal this world, the new Jerusalem. So, Ed, could you put those verses up for me, please? John 4. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we're going to look at some things here quickly. You see, we're going to make some observations about what's going on in this story, because there's a lot. And I want to point out to you some context and some background, so the story doesn't lose its punch. First of all, a little background and context. Jesus sits down beside a well, and he is very, very, very tired, and he's thirsty from his journey. He's alone because his disciples, they went into town. And here comes a woman, approaches to draw water. She's all by herself, and she is a Samaritan. Now, first of all, Samaritans were despised by the Jews. They were hated. They didn't interact together because the Jews felt the Samaritans had abandoned the Jewish faith, and they had intermarried with Gentiles and adopted Gentile practices. And this goes all the way back to the Babylonian era. So, and the Jews felt that the Samaritans were not real Jews because they adopted Gentile and pagan practices, both in life and in their religion. You see, it was very, very unusual for a Jew to speak to a Samaritan. But this is exactly, take note of this now, this is exactly what Jesus did. Not only that, but it was unusual in those days for a Jewish man to even speak to a woman, a woman alone at least. You see, not because the man might be accused of impropriety, but because in those days, women was far beneath men on the social ladder. In those days, women were more like objects to be used rather than people to be valued. But stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. The fact that Jesus speaks to a Samaritan and a woman, and a Samaritan woman, is quite eye-opening. Look at how the disciples reacted when they returned to find Jesus talking with this woman. This was all quite radical. The second thing I want to point out, that there were differences in worship practices between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Samaritans believed that worship was to be conducted on Mount Gerizim, which is where this story is taking place, or at least close to it. And the Jews believed, of course, that the center of worship was in the temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus is going to do away with all of that. He says this: true worship will take place neither on Mount Gerizim nor in Jerusalem, but instead will take place in spirit and in truth. Remember that. Spirit and in truth. And this can be done anywhere. That's not determined by location. Jesus said these are the kind of worship that the Father is looking for. And the third and most glaring detail is this: the woman was by herself. Now, she came to the well at noon to draw water. In those days, at noon, it was pretty hot. And she came by herself, so there had to be a reason. You know, most of the women, when they came to draw, water. They came in the morning in the coolness of the day, and they were always together. But this lady, she came in the heat of the day all by herself. It looks like she was being shunned. Amen? Folks didn't want to be around her. They didn't want to be associated with her. So, we'll find out this in a few minutes, why she had no friends in as she talks with Jesus. So we can agree right now that this dear woman, she was no saint. Clearly, she's a sinner. She's had five husbands, and the person she's now with is not with a husband. And how many of these men belong to the other women in the community? Maybe that's why she was shunned. Maybe the local women didn't want to associate with their husband's mistress. Certainly, we can agree that she's no saint. But I can tell you this. There are men that are sinners in the town also. There's an old saying that we used to say, my parents used to always tell it, it takes two to tango. It's always two sides of a story. So we're not going to just pick on this dear woman. She's been with six men, so there's been six men just as guilty. Now, it's interesting to note what our Lord does here. And if Jesus, and what does he do? He humbles himself. Listen to what he does. He humbles himself, and he speaks to the Samaritan woman. Oh, my goodness. This is an act of humility, not of one of control or to beat her down or condemn her. You see, when a Samaritan woman came in to draw water, Jesus asked her, will you give me a drink? And Jesus is already humbling himself here, and he's talking to a despised person, you know, whom he already knows everything about. I must caution you here right now. If you're doing something that you think you're hiding, if you're doing something in your life that you think no one knows but you, you think you're hiding it from everybody, I just want to let you know that you're not hiding it from Jesus. Amen? He knows all about it. He knows what's going on, and he's just waiting for you to bring it to him and ask for forgiveness. So there's nothing that's not going to be left undone. What's done in the dark will surely come to the light. So, you know, she's not a saint, she's a sinner. And Jesus engages her with conversation. You see, he's not too good and pure to talk with her. He knows she's a sinner, and yet he looks on her. I tell you, I just thank God. I thank the Lord that he saw me as I was. And even though I was broken and messed up, he touched me and spoke to me and saved me. And he will do the same for you also. So let me move on. Where do we get the idea that God is too holy and too pure to look upon sin? Where do we get the idea that God is too holy and pure to care about the homeless, the drunkard, the prostitute, those that don't have anything, the murderers? Where do we get that idea that he's too good to look upon those that cheat and those that lie? You know, where does he get the idea? Where do we get the idea that he's too holy to look at us when we sin in our life? You know, God is, you see, we didn't get that idea from Jesus, and that's proven right here. Jesus was constantly eating, he was healing, loving, talking, and praying with sinners like this woman. He was not offended, he was not self-righteous, he was kind, loving, truthful, and direct. And guess what, dear ones? This woman, she responded to that. She responded to that. You see, she received his kindness, his love, his truth, and direction, and she owned up to her faults. One of the problems we have today is we don't like to own up to our responsibilities. It's always somebody else's fault. Adam says, Lord, that was Eve's fault. She gave me that fruit. You know, Lord, it wasn't my fault. It was so-and-so's fault. She owned up to her fault. And that's what we need to do. We need to own up to them and stop blaming stuff on other folks. And even though Jesus, he brought out skeletons out of her closet, she went back into town And she told everyone. She became an evangelist right away. That there was a man here that told me everything about myself. She went about telling about the Lord. Here we have a lady who was not only guilty of sin, but probably lived her life in shame. She was ostracized by the other women in the village. She walked alone to get her water in the noonday sun. I wonder this morning, do you know the difference between guilt and shame? Guilt has to do with your behaviors, like when you did something wrong. But shame has to do with your identity, what you believe about yourself. A person living with guilt might say, I made a mistake. One that living in shame might say, I am a mistake. Can you see the difference? You see, shame is when we say to ourselves, there's something wrong with me. Why am I like this? Why doesn't nobody like me? Why am I this? Why do I have to live this way? You know, and we live our life believing this about ourselves. That's shame. Shame involves deep humiliation about ourselves, not about something we've done. That's the difference. The Holy Spirit will convict us of guilt, you know, and of sin, but he will never, ever shame. Notice Jesus points out what she's guilty of doing. She had five husbands, and the current one isn't her husband. And she's not guilty of being. Jesus doesn't belittle her. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't insult her or run her off. Because God came to save us, not condemn us. Nor did he come to shame us. He knows we're good enough at shaming ourselves. Amen. Without any help from him. I want I want you to remember that guilt is when we feel badly about something we've done or not done, and shame is so much different. Shame is when you feel badly about who you are. Now let me ask you this morning, how do you define yourself? Do you define yourself by your failings and your weakness? That's the way maybe some religions will define you. That's the way maybe other people will define you. But God does not define you that way. He sees your sin. He sees your brokenness. And he sees your shame. He sees your guilt. And he seeks to heal you and forgive you. He loves you very, very much. And he's going to clean you up and heal you from all that mess. You see, Jesus no longer needs to define ourselves by our biggest mistakes or our ugliest sin, or even by what other people think of us. He came to save you, not to condemn you. His salvation extends to you deepest hurts, your worst mistake, and your ugliest sins. He will heal them all because they are not part of who you are. Let them point you to the empty tomb, that Christ is risen, and that the resurrection power will also resurrect you also. Missionary to Africa. Telling folks about Jesus, telling about the encounter she had had with the Lord. She became, in fact, in Catholicism, she became a saint. And I hope I pronounce this word right. Saint Potoshi, woman at the well. Something. Isn't it awesome what Jesus can do? He can take my
make it into something else. And you know what, folks? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to subscribe to any book or do 10 steps or anything. All you have to do is come to him in faith. That's all for your faith. He's looking to see that you are available. After he healed this dear woman, she went on. Eventually, she was martyred. Her and her children were martyred by Nero. This is what Nero did. He thought it was mockery. He threw her down a dry well. Mock her. To say that, well, Jesus saved you at a well. I would imagine she went praising the Lord. Amen? Because she had a greater reward. Oh, I want you to know this morning. Whatever that you're facing, whatever that you're up against, you don't have to struggle with it by yourself. You don't have to have sleepless nights that you can't sleep. It seems like nothing works. The doctor, different pills, and they don't work. But I got something. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus loves. Jesus gives you peace. Jesus gives you comfort. I don't understand it. What do we look? We have all that we need right in Jesus. So this morning, as I close, I want you to remember this story. Remember that the encounter with Jesus can change your life. Encounter with Jesus, everything new. An encounter with Jesus can set your feet on a different path. Amen? May the Lord bless you. And he loves you very much. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Oh, with me my burden share, none but thee.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful to be back, y'all.
Amen. Glad to have you back, John.
Thank you. I tell you, with the vaccines and the boosters, and I got the lucky straw and still caught COVID, so, but, you know, it kicked my butt.
Well, that means you won't talk too long.
No. I haven't been here in a while, Pastor. No. Let's continue to lift all of God's children in our thoughts and prayers. That we all need prayers. We all need, be kept in Jesus' heart. Prayers for Gerda's sister, Imbegard. Continued prayers of uplifting for David and Lisa Edwards, Virginia Molinoff's granddaughter Reagan. Continued prayers of support and uplifting for Alice Tyler's family, for Laura Dixon's family, and for Linda McMillan and Jim's children. And it was a beautiful service yesterday. Continued prayers of uplifting and support for Diane Skaggs' daughter, Lisa, for Dixie Souter's sister, Martha, for Mary Ann Palmer, family of Patricia Hollins Simon, and for Tessie's nephew, for Homer Vargas' neighbors, Joaquin Gonzalez and Gregory Puentes, for Billy Peterson, Valerie Carpio and her daughter, Ashley. And it's wonderful to see Tessie, and she did not have her cane, so hallelujah, Tessie. And for me, wonderful to see Bonnie this morning. It's always a joy when she's here. So, and continued support, uplifting for Eileen Fader. She continues to do better. For Sandy Bundick. And Lance is asking prayers. He's job hunting, so let's give some good prayer vibes that Lance can get a job very shortly. God, hear our prayers. For Elaine Bixler and for Jim, Kathy Bedell, Sandra Boykins. Wonderful to see Jim Whitney here this morning. And also a bright spot to see Vicki Ballman. So, and I got a beautiful card earlier this week from Karen, and inside was a color of a colored page from Doug, and you know, she gave a little paragraph of what was going on, and she called me this morning on the way to church, and she even put Doug on the phone, and you know, could hear his mumbling. But she said that, just continue to give them prayers. Doug needs a lot of prayers. She said he had a bad cranky day yesterday. He just, because we all know Doug, and she just said him not being able to understand what's going on. Said Friday was a great day. Yesterday was a bad day. So just continue to keep Karen Lawrence and Doug in our thoughts and prayers. They are wonderful additions to our church, and they need all the love and support that we can give them. So God, hear our prayers. Continue prayers for all of God's children that go out and spread His word and do His work. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. And for Joe Gonzalez, have a safe flight and a wonderful trip to the Carolinas to visit y'all's children this week, Joe. God be with you. God be with all of us.
Please also pray for Murph. Murph had a fall, I believe, at the nursing home, so please pray for his healing as well. And Tessie and I are asking for prayers for our son Marcus and our grandson, the Eric, and our granddaughter Tayana. They're having some relationship problems, and the only thing is nothing Granny and Pawpaw can't do, but Jesus can fix those things. Amen? Please pray for them. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you, Lord, how you stood by us, how you watch over us. We thank you how you touch the woman at the well, and how you're touching lives even right now. And now, Lord, I ask that you would touch even right now Alamo United Methodist Church, each and every one that are in here, Lord, that they will receive a touch from you, and Lord, that their lives would be changed, that they would be put on the right path, even for those who may not believe. Have mercy on us, Lord, as only you can. We throw ourselves on your mercy, on your grace. We know no other place to go. You're all that we have. You're all that we need. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we leave from here today, remember those who are less fortunate than ourselves, and all are worthy of our prayers, and we worthy to give them. Be friendly and be safe, and join us here again next Sunday to receive the message that our pastor will bring us. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn? I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah.